Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
There's no point in asking, you'll get no reply, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brighton beat Palace. Newcastle won after being 2 goals down. And in the Championship, Jack Grealish showed his character. Football's been happening, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, good times ahoy.
Good times ahoy.
Feels like it's been a good weekend for it.
Bloody good
apart
weekend.
Apart from my team, but that's not...
Did Bobby lose?
Yeah, lost on TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should
have played on the pitch, mate.
Boy, one weekend 5-1 the weekend before. Put that on TV. Nah,
No. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. There's no shop window down there, so no. It doesn't matter if it's TV or not.
No, but overall, I thought it was a good weekend of football.
It was.
So we can. I think we should be able to officially enjoy it.
Damn right.
Pete and I in particular have had bloody lovely weekends of football.
I thought Saturday was better than Sunday, definitely.
I bet you did.
Usually is because you've got the extra day off for most people. Yeah?
True. Mm.
Yeah.
True.
Do you get the Sunday night blues? Is that what you're saying?
No, because Monday morning we're here.
Songs of praise, mate.
Songs of praise, yeah, true.
Get involved.
Exactly.
Crufts. It was Crufts.
It was Crufts.
Keeping away the Sunday blues. What I would describe, and what the commentators would describe, won by a lovely bitch.
It was a lovely bitch.
Never not funny.
It's never not funny. No.
What kind of dog won?
I can't remember. It might not have even been a bitch. It might have been a boy bitch.
Yeah, well, I am surrounded, ladies and gentlemen, by lovely bitches. Lovely ones, though. And we're going to talk about some Premier League stuff.
To break with the
mould. Crystal Palace, they lost against Brighton. We thought that Palace were favourites because they were. And they bloody well buggered it up. Anthony Knockout scored a beauty to win the match, although Hodgson was unhappy that he was still on the pitch after that first minute challenge on Milivojevic.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was naughty, wasn't it? I think that's a straight red, but because it's happened so early.
Yeah,
I mean, and it is one of those whatever minute happens, it shouldn't matter.
The referee's got to manage the game, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, but come on though, it's dangerous play.
Sure.
Do you think that's the referee? That's your one now.
I have sympathy. I have sympathy with Jim's viewpoint because I think the referee's got to manage the game. But at the same time, I mean, you take that to its natural conclusion. Someone takes like a nuclear bomb on the pitch.
Yeah.
You're like, oh well. The thing is in the first minute. Nah.
I think if I saw a footballer with a nuclear bomb on the pitch, I'd go just before I died. I'd go. This was unexpected. This is about as unexpected as like. Where's he got the uranium from? The refined uranium, and how's he managed to produce a nuclear bomb?
Often people moan that nowadays in football
there's not enough nuclear bombs.
There's not. Well, you don't see stuff for the first time anymore. Yes. I've never seen that before.
I've never seen nuclear fission.
It would be strange.
Listen, Anthony Knockhart's got a hand grenade on his boot. We know that.
We certainly do.
It'd be a strange thing to react to as well, because you think I assume it would have some sort of panelling on it that explained it was nuclear, and you think, well, there's no point diving for cover. No. Just got to enjoy this last moment of consciousness.
Yeah.
No.
I'd try and stick one in the net real quick before it happens.
Has the Spurs new stadium got back seat backs that are lead lined so you can just like duck behind it?
Could do. Have they thought about that?
They seem to have thought of everything else.
The booking that Knockhart, is it Knockhart or Knockhart?
I would say Knockhart.
Knockhart picked up was 28 seconds. You're going to say it's the fastest run in the Premier League this season, right?
No, I'm not.
Say it.
Funny, because that's what you got written down here. I'm sorry to steal your thunder, but I want to take it on a notch and say, do you guys know any of the information around what the actual fastest yellow card in the Premier League of all time is? Who did it? Who it's for? What time it was?
Well, I know this was the first one, the fastest since 2009, according to the BBC.
Right.
It's £9 he's not getting back as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Please tell me it involved the flick of the coin and he flicked it in the referee's face. Yellow.
No, it wasn't that.
It was after the whistle went, presumably.
Yeah, it was after 5 seconds, and it was on the 21st of March 1992.
Oh, Vinnie Jones.
Correct.
was it against Liverpool?
Sheffield United against Man City.
Oh, okay, right.
I don't know what that tackle looked like, but I imagine nowadays it would be a straight red.
Imagine.
And now he's fat shaming Piers Morgan.
Yeah, true. He is.
We've all put a bit of timber.
If you can imagine in your mind exactly what a Vinnie Jones yellow card looks like in the early 90s after 5 seconds, it looks exactly like that.
And that would be very much a straight red card.
Yeah. I'm picturing like a cutaway from Braveheart.
Yeah.
Do you know Vinnie Jones has
less
got...
Less bums out.
Well, in a battle scene.
I think he got nearly half the red cards Sergio Ramos has got in his career. I understand that red cards are a bit easier to pick up these days. I think Sergio he got 13. Ramos. I think he got 14. One was rescinded later.
Right.
Sergio 13. Ramos, and I will never tire of bringing this out, has 6 red cards against Barcelona.
Alone.
Yeah. Wasn't
alone.
Sergio Ramos when he was...
Zidane got a fair few as well.
Obviously sitting one out for Ajax, against Ajax.
That's right.
Wasn't he filming like a documentary up in the
I believe
the
there was something like that happening, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. I want to see that documentary.
And this going back to Palace against Brighton, as we discussed before, it's a pretty fiercely contested derby.
Well, hence Knockhart's challenge.
But Glenn Murray got a decent reception.
Yeah. Well, he was at Palace for a while, and he scored goals there and whatnot.
But when he scored against them, he didn't celebrate.
Yeah. No, he didn't. But before the game, when the names were being read out, his name was read out, and he got a bit of a round of applause, which I think is fair enough.
He's one of those players it's hard to sort of dislike.
Yeah, very much. Especially given how good he still is.
The way he took his goal.
Did he get a better reception or a worse reception than Jack Grealish?
we'll come on to that later.
I thought the atmosphere was great. The atmosphere is always really good at Selhurst Park, but you really feel the intensity of that weird derby. I think it's a worry for Palace, though, that Knockhart played so well, because if Anthony Knockhart is playing really well against you, does that suggest that you are championship quality?
It might do.
He's in Darren Huckabee zone. So
what a goal, though.
That's beautiful.
That's
a great goal at any level.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the way to win a derby match. Mm. Both sides on 33 points, just 5 ahead of Cardiff, of course, who got a brilliant win themselves. Mm. I've said a few times I fancy Palace to pull away from it, and I still do. I don't think Palace will be relegated, because realistically it is just that one spot. I mean, Warnock's talked about them versus Southampton, and Southampton, we'll come onto them in just a second. Palace's home form is worrying. They've not scored many goals at all. They've got a couple of good away wins recently.
Is it disrespectful to Roy Hodgson for Brighton to go there and win them on their own patch?
I'd say so.
Oh, the eldest statesman of the game.
Yeah.
The eldest serving manager in Premier League history.
Again. He hit that record again this weekend.
Yeah, again, exactly. He's breaking it every week at the moment. He's like Messi.
Yeah.
Just records are tumbling.
Is Milivojevic?
Yeah.
I've pronounced that wrong about 3 times already today. I do apologise.
Call him the big M.
He loves a penalty, doesn't he?
Oh, it's brilliant. I love a penalty specialist like that.
Yeah, there are two players who are head and shoulders above everyone else when it comes to taking penalties, him and Harry Kane. They're both brilliant at penalties.
That's true. Although, sadly, for the big Serbian that I'll now call him, that one against Man City, of course, last
that was
last
a season. Sickener. That was an absolute sickener.
It was a shame. But come on, if you take that many penalties, you're going to miss.
and Crystal Palace have got Watford away next, and after, in the cup, and then after that, I think they're at home to Huddersfield. So you'd fancy them to win that one, because Huddersfield have sort of down tools really now, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's such a gimme that now, isn't
Huddersfield are now in the back garden, bottom of the back garden in the shed, just working on this old four-stroke engine. They've always, kit car. Yeah, building a kit
Putting together a kit car.
They're all building a kit car rather than changing.
Palace and Brighton are extending their derby, their non-geographical derby. They're going toe-to-toe. They're trying to sign the Chelsea defender, Reece James. So
are they?
That's so hopefully that'll sort of extend the lack bribery. Of civility.
Presumably a loan deal. a Chelsea youngster.
He'll play them off against each other and make it even worse. And then Alan Mullery will come along and throw a lot of change on the floor. So that's what you're worth.
That's right. Southampton, we mentioned them there. We're going to mention them now. They beat Spurs 2-1. A brilliant win. Mm. A brilliant win for Southampton. They're up to 30 points, two ahead of Cardiff, sorry, and Warnock. And so James Ward-Prowse with another lovely free kick.
James Ward-Beckham.
Yes, Jim.
Beautiful.
He's really come into his own since Hasenhüttl's taken over. Because he showed a lot of promise.
He did.
And then he sort of, I don't know if he had injuries or he's not really, he was getting criticism for not adding goals to his game, and he sort of seemed to stagnate, didn't he? Now under Hasenhüttl, he's playing brilliantly.
He's stepped up, hasn't he? And he's, as you say, yeah, he's absolutely that. He's starting to set an example and to lead, and it's really, really good to see that from him.
Sorry, Jim.
Yeah. As Luke said, like he looks a player with promise, looks a sort of quite exciting young player, and he's clearly got a very mature head on his shoulders, and it's nice to see that sort of actually, you know, after the, you know, difficult time Southampton have had in the last sort of couple of seasons or so. It's good to see one of those players stepping up, because you worry like, oh, are you what's left after the good players have been picked apart, and are you not good enough?
Yeah, it's hard to flourish, isn't it? Answer me this then,
when are Liverpool going to sign him?
Yeah, it's hard to flourish because you're in a situation where you're fighting relegation every season. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean, I know they've had occasions where they've
under
been
under
Koeman,
for example.
Yeah, but generally speaking, they've got to protect what they've got and try and sort of eke out results, haven't they? And that's hard for a player of that type.
Yeah, we know that they can produce young players, of course, haven't they, for crying out loud. But you're right. It is good to see someone like Ward-Prowse really kind of taking it forward. And I don't know what Hasenhüttl said to him. He said, maybe, you know, you understand the club maybe a bit better than maybe one or two others on the pitch and so on. Go out there and bloody show them what you can do. And he certainly is. And Josh Sims, he came on. I think he was man of the match, actually. Came on at half-time around about there. Helped change the game and win it for Southampton. And Hasenhüttl was seen on the pitch after the final whistle celebrating with his players in a little huddle.
Yeah.
What sort of German-speaking managers, because he's Austrian, isn't he, Hasenhüttl?
Yes. Yeah.
They love a huddle.
Yeah.
They do love a huddle.
A huddle and a cuddle.
I've had a few people criticise the huddle.
Yeah.
Saying that, like, if you've not done it before you get on the pitch, then you're never going to do it. But I think it's probably just a rallying call, right?
So I hate the pre-match tunnel. That's a vital part of the... Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to get in? You have to dig your own.
You have to buy a ticket.
Especially in the Super Clásico in Argentina. If you don't have that tunnel, then the players are getting pelted with goodness knows what. The pre-match huddle, depends. Now,
there's an element to it, I think.
I used to hate it. Now I'm a bit more, in my old age,
it's a bit for show.
Yes.
It's a bit to be seen to be doing it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Especially at teams that are kind of like down the bottom end of the table, like Newcastle frequently are. They occasionally get involved. I'm like, I like to see that because, God, we need all the help.
I think huddle etiquette doesn't really bother me that much.
No, it doesn't bother me, really. Do we have a huddle before we go on stage at a live show?
I think we might have done that.
I think it's
Madonna-esque.
No one else is looking, though, are they?
No,
it's just for us.
I think
will Jimmy Bullard be parodying it next week on field?
I think that if it is quite an impromptu thing, then fair enough. Whereas if it's like, right, we've got to do the team talk, then we go out, and then we do the huddle,
I think some people will probably, some of the younger players might really benefit from it, because you've got the captain in there, he's leading the charge, and he's saying, right, we're all in this together sort of thing, and it would give you a galvanising effect. But I suppose the criticism maybe comes from the fact that do that in the dressing room, then you're focused and you're away. Because sometimes you see players, I'll tell you what might be just me getting old, or us getting old. I remember players being a lot more focused in the tunnel than they seem to be now. Mm. They're a lot more sort of jovial now, aren't they?
True, but then that can go either one way or the other. Sometimes you're a bit more too highly strung or wound up. Maybe
and you
like
get Anthony Knock.
but I think, like, and to be honest, he didn't cover his mouth, did he, Hasenhüttl, when he was giving the old instructions?
So, I've got something on that later, by the way.
So you could. So it's just nice to see somebody not covering their mouth when they're talking.
Mm. Yeah,
and I would like to see them do it all in the goal net.
Yeah.
Like a meeting room. Pretend the goal net is a meeting room, and both teams get to sort of use it.
Water cooler in the corner.
got to book it out.
Start. But or maybe do one big one in the centre circle. You've got to shout at each other.
There's already a team in it. But on the game itself, second half, and Pochettino was fuming, isn't he?
He was.
On the BBC website, they had this whole post-match interview. It was about 15 minutes long. he couldn't stop talking about how annoyed he was. And I think the complacency he talked about, I think that was evident because people are saying, oh, maybe Spurs have run out of steam or whatever. But some of the players they brought in, Ali Dyer, Walker Peters, Mora, who haven't played an awful lot of football. Now, I know some of those have been injured and they might not be able to last the whole distance and all the rest of it.
Still, though.
But you'd expect them to close it out. And I think it is a bit complacent. You're going away to a team who's fighting for their lives. Yeah. You know, you can't expect the game to be won at 1-0 in any game in the Premier League, because we've seen what it's like, especially a team who are at home and fighting for their lives. I thought it was really disappointing. Yeah. And now they're in a fight, Spurs.
He actually said it was complacency and arrogance. It's rare that you see a manager so lose their rag like that. Well, not lose their rag, but be so sort of pointedly critical.
So what I thought you were going to say then. It's rare to hear an Argentinian so hypocritical. I thought you were going to say.
I'll leave that.
A bit sanctimonious, isn't it, Potch?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, with your black suit and your black tie, knocking about like you own the place. You're only renting Wembley, mate.
Well, because we talk
that was
about
what Jim was going to say if you didn't have the bottle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what else do you want to say, Jim?
We were talking about Jurgen Klopp, perhaps, letting his emotions get the better of him at times. And I think Pochettino has a bit of that as well. Because you can see sometimes he seems to get annoyed at himself for losing his cool a little bit. And that's happening here as well. And you wonder what sort of message that sends to the dressing room, because they need to galvanise now. They've got Liverpool at Anfield next.
I don't know if that's losing his cool. I mean, lost his cool.
The Burnley game seems to be
very spiky, though.
Yeah.
And I just think he thinks, and I think he's a great manager.
He is.
But yeah. I think he thinks he's the dog's bollocks. And fair enough, probably rightly so. Mm. But is it going too far?
Well, what have they lost? They've lost, what, 3 of the last 4 league games. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago that they had a chance to go within a couple of points of the top.
That's right.
2 or 3 points of the top. They're now 13 points off the top. They've a
lot life of people comes say, at you no, fast, doesn't it? Life comes at you fast, man.
have we spoken about the
mid-table now?
Have we spoken about the new Spurs stadium and how little room they've left for anyone taking a corner before the pitch starts to slow down?
That's great. Let's get amongst it.
What do you mean?
Well, do you want like the London Stadium?
There's no run up there.
Do you know what though? At the side of the pit, is there not a bit of a drop like that? Poor Brazil. Look. Was it a Brazilian chap in the J League?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. There are a lot of Brazilian chaps in the J League. You sort of leapt over the hoardings.
Yeah, you could have a bit of that.
You got to know.
I like it closed in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you still got to take a corner. Look how much space you've got to have in the run-up.
Players only take a couple of paces.
You can only do an in-swinger. You can't stand
there. That's right. You're not having any left-footed players. Take one from there. Yeah.
Maybe they'll be sorted out in the test events.
Maybe there'll be a little platform.
Yeah.
A little corner platform they bring up. Like a little runway.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, the chance of Spurs getting in the top four now, they've got a battle on their hands.
This is the thing, look, and I think Pochettino, whatever one may say about losing his cool, or he thinks this, that, and the other, the fact of the matter is they have been dropping points quite rapidly of late, and it's for their standards now, which Pochettino and the players have raised the bar of year on year, it's not really that good enough. And as you say, they are now in this battle with Manchester United, with Arsenal, who are just behind them, and Chelsea, who have got a game in hand. Yeah. Of course, Chelsea win that game, and I think they're only a point behind Spurs, whereas a minute ago, it was kind of like, oh, are they an outside bet?
Their game in hand to get Brighton as well, I think.
Yeah. They've gone from winning games late on to losing them now, and to conceding, and it feels like in that sort of last half an hour, last 20 minutes, they look a bit fatigued, and that is understandable given the amount of games that a lot of those players have played.
They used to be going to the well, kept going to the well. Now they can't even be able to get out of bed, put the slippers on, and go to the well. And someone else is already at the well, and the well's dry, but they don't even know the well's dry because they can't get out of bed.
So they're rubbish.
I know.
How many people have wells nowadays?
I don't know.
Well.
Well,
ask Sven, he does.
Yeah. Right then, we've been polite enough, haven't we, Peter?
Yes.
Get all that chutney out the way. Yeah. Now let's talk about Newcastle United against Everton.
Pickford.
Here's a stat attack for you. Newcastle came from 2 goals down to win a Premier League game for the first time since October 2003 against Fulham under Sir Bobby Robson.
Is it fair to say that they've lost a bit of their spirit since that time?
Let's Pete put through the ringer and name the team that Newcastle fielded that day in 2003. One. And the game was actually at Loftus Road because Craven Cottage was being redeveloped at the time.
Wow.
Pete, do you want me to run you through it?
2003, Shearer, Bellamy. Shearer scored 2, I think, did he?
Shearer did score 2, Bellamy didn't play.
Did he not play?
No.
I said no.
I'll tell you the team was. Shea Given in goal. Great.
Big Shea.
Great keeper. Although you like Dubravka, don't you, sir? It's not the
I
only
do
one.
Like Dubravka, yeah.
A back four of Hughes, Bernard, O'Brien and Titus Bramble.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Bramble.
Yeah,
love that.
And this was a side in the Champions League, was it not? They've been Champions League around that time.
Yeah, around about that time, yeah.
Listen, the midfield is great stuff. It is great.
Nobby's in there.
For a number of different reasons. Nobby's... No, he's gone by then.
Oh, has he gone by then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
he hadn't gone by then.
He wasn't playing.
Okay.
Oh, didn't Lee Clark score for Fulham?
Yes, he did, yeah.
And he did a non-celebration?
Yeah, he did,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good knowledge, Petey. Yeah.
The midfield, Jermaine Genus.
Lovely.
Back then would have been known as Jermaine Genus, of course.
Yeah.
Dyer?
No. Gary Speed.
No, not Keith Gillespie, surely.
Lee Bowyer.
Yeah.
And Lauren Robert.
Lauren Robert.
Up front, Shearer with Big Schoeller.
Schoeller
scored, did he?
No, he didn't. Robert got the first.
Oh, okay.
Robert got the first. Schoeller scored. Was it against Sunderland? And the answer's no, he didn't score.
Schoeller didn't score. Really sounds like a Newcastle podcast.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. It's probably out there.
If Schoeller scored on the pitch.
Fulham's team, Van der Sar, Leacock, mm-hmm. Bonacel, Knight, Gomer, Lewinsky, Mark Pembridge, who was substituted off for Inamoto. Lee Clark, Steve Malbronk, a guy called Buari I'd never heard of, and Louis Saha.
Yeah.
Barry Hales off the bench.
I think it was Shearer's. It was a penalty, I think, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, there was one penalty in the game.
Well,
yeah.
We know that Iosi Perez wasn't playing then, but he was certainly playing against Everton.
He played about three games at once against Everton. It was brilliant. He's got that in him occasionally, hasn't he? Where he just looks incredible.
What a hero.
Joint top scorer in the Benitez era, Perez.
Really?
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he really does like him, and I guess speaks the same language.
You hate him.
I don't hate him. I just think he's what.
Do you know what?
He's 1.5 million.
In my ear at Stamford Bridge. The whole game. Yeah. Well, in the day, every time he did something, in the day, he's a £2 million footballer. Playing like a £2 million footballer.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Will you finish those chips? Right, he got two goals there, Petey.
He did, and he's played very well.
Assisted by Jordan Pickford.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think Pickford kind of lost the match for Evan because of his showboating when he saved the penalty, and I think someone whipped the ball wide and he was giving it the big licks because he's obviously a big Sunderland fan. Sunderland fans are actually tweeting about him going, he's one of our own, actually right. chanting at their match because their life is the Magpies. And
lucky not to be sent off.
The dig.
Oh my God, that should have been ridiculous.
Jim, what's everyone sent off today?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
He didn't even get booked, did he?
No, not even a yellow for rugby tackle.
We've seen him do that once before, England versus Spain. Versus England.
It was Joe Hart-esque the way he kind of,
really,
it's all on me, it's all about...
Well, England's number one.
And I think that is a problem for a keeper. I think if you get to the point where you're being centre of attention the whole time, it's probably not what you want.
It was a shame because having conceded the penalty, which was obviously a bit of a daft one, he then saves it and you think, right, you've got yourself out of jail there.
Crack on.
And get your head down, but of course... Young lad, he's let the occasion get the better of him.
He's got the rave on, Marcus, hasn't he?
He's very much got the rave on. Yeah.
I saw a really funny tweet about this, about the parry for Iosi Perez's goal, which was along the lines of, this is such bad goalkeeping, it almost looks like match fixing. And it really was. Like, it was such a ridiculous parry straight into the path of Perez. And you feel like that just surely comes from a lack of focus.
That's a key point, bantering
with a fan.
I feel like absolutely right. One of the most important things about a goalkeeper, you look at the top level of goalkeeping. If Pickford wants to go on and play for, I don't know, say he goes and plays for Man United or whatever, a team that on their day and when everything's clicking nicely, you haven't really got an awful lot to do. You've got to be concentrated. It's the biggest skill you need. Yeah. Don't come to me and tell me, oh, that keeper's a great shot stopper, that keeper. All those keepers are great. They make unreal saves. I mean, Bernd Leno, who's not been short of criticism this season, made one of the best saves I've ever seen last week against Spurs.
I couldn't believe it. A good shot stopper.
Donny makes some good saves, but it's a concentration. And if you're focused on all that kind of stuff, I wonder if that's just a bit of immaturity and it makes it difficult to focus at the same time.
I feel like in another life, he could be the sort of person that runs onto a pitch and punches a footballer.
Yeah, stop it, Jim.
Fortunately, he's not living that life.
No, he's not.
He's got gloves on if he has.
Exactly.
At the moment, he's nearly living his best life. Nearly. Newcastle up to 13th, 6 points above the relegation zone. They're only 3 points behind Bournemouth and Everton. Can they dream of a top 10 finish, Peter? I mean, they can dream of it, of course.
I don't think it's outside the realms of possibility. They seem to be playing well.
Did you not observe that 3-2 win because they went 2-0 down first?
I really enjoyed...
I wondered who was going to say that.
I really enjoyed the inevitability of actually Newcastle coming back because that rarely happens. They're always either hanging on by the skin of our teeth and kind of all backs to the wall and, you know, parking the bus and stuff at the end of the match. But that was like, I think Newcastle might win this. And
when Rondon's got that look in his eye, you think to yourself, here he comes.
Mr. Hold up.
Yeah. When the Venezuelan Peter Kay's got that look in his eye.
Peter Kay?
He looks like Peter Kay.
I don't know.
Does he?
John O'Shea looks like Peter
Kay. So, I'm not talking, not Peter Kay, Paddy McGuinness.
Again, possibly even a worse shout.
No, I don't think it's
You've
worse.
Kept it in no the like same it. Realm and just shuffled it up slightly.
No, because I originally...
No, Lukey, no like it.
I originally meant to say Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah, still though, we're not convinced by that.
Peter, but you got the same agent as Paddy McGuinness, haven't you?
No, no, don't think so.
He's looking. He's Google imaging Paddy McGuinness. What's his name? Rondon.
All right. Well, let's have a quick break.
I can't figure it out.
Pete, you have a little Google image and come back and let us know what you think. All right. See you in a moment.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you going to say 1, 2, 3, Steve, and then we'll just reveal ourselves?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. does he look like Paddy McGuinness, Jim?
I wasn't Googling it.
No, yeah, Jim's got better things
from memory. I'm going
to
go no.
Yeah, okay,
Jim's trying to think of other players that should have been sent off this weekend.
All right, it's time for emails with Petey D.
It's time for emails.
Yeah. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees!
You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bees are quite good, really, aren't they?
The reason Marcus does that is to give Pete enough time to find the jingle. It's like when the Brazilian radio commentator does it.
Goal. Goal!
Yeah, it's like that.
Well, the original reason for that goal.
People will just listen and go, oh, Marcus is being quirky or whatever. I'm sat in between them both. Marcus is doing that while wildly gesticulating
at
Pete.
First,
and Pete's got, like, flapping, trying to find the right button.
But I mean, there's two kind of postures. There's two phases of play here. It's one, me going, do we want the email jingle or not? And then the second phase is me going, what have I named it?
Yeah,
I mean, I've helpfully named it emails.
Ultimately, I'm stalling
thing.
For you.
Yeah.
But that was, for those who don't know, that was the original reason why the whole goal thing, because the famous commentator was losing his eyesight.
He wants to find a name.
Exactly. And
also, should we just assume that if there's a jingle for a section, we do want it?
Yeah, because you've made it and it's on the iPad, which you've brought in specifically for the purpose.
It's samey though, doesn't it?
But why not make another one? If it's samey for you, it's not samey for
you. Have you got Adobe Audition?
No, hang on. I said, if it's samey for you, then that I'm empowering you and encouraging you to make another one. But for us, we're happy with it.
People like them. Let's make some more of them. Emails.
James.
Hello.
He's got in touch.
Show at thefootballrambler.com.
Hello, Ramblers. Long time listener, first time writer. As much as I enjoyed hearing some insightful emails in Pete's absence, rude, I was intrigued by... I was intrigued by Aston's underarm, overarm, bottle-throwing debate last week on Pete's return. During the 16-17 season, I worked for the Posh on a season-long internship as a sports therapist. During a League One match, I can't remember the opposition, our centre midfielder and friend of mine, Jermaine Anderson, jogged towards the side of the pitch for some water. The physio chucked him a bottle of water, and once he'd finished, he underarmed it back to the physio, applying too much power and seeing the bottle loop over the physio and into the first row of the home fans.
Red, that's a red.
The referee, obviously seeing this as an act of aggression, proceeded to show Jermaine a red card.
Oh, that's harsh.
Sending him for an early shower. Unsurprisingly, the then manager Graham Wesley was not impressed.
But he wasn't.
I can't help but feel that seeing red for a misplaced throw into your own fans is a bit harsh, particularly when it's underarmed.
Jim probably thinks that's a red card though, don't you?
Yeah. Was the top on or off is the question.
We talked about Graham Wesley on Thursday, didn't
he pops up a lot.
Yeah.
Hang on, was it Graham Wesley? Speaking of, so if he did that and then...
I've got a boy in the bath. That's Graham Wesley, yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Farnborough Town.
Come on, give us a blast.
He shouted out when someone put a tackle in front of the subs bench. And Graham Wesley's Farnborough Town had already had a player sent off. He shouted out to the referee, come on, ref, I've got a boy in the bath for less than that.
The record, I do think that was a red.
It's a great line. Yeah, it's a great line.
Well done, Jim.
Any more emails, Peter?
Yes. Hello to, who have we got? Andy Chen from Edinburgh, who also went to the Royal High School class of 2011. Is that a reference to something?
No, probably not.
Okay.
It is for me, brother.
Oh, is it?
Well, pipe up then. That's the question.
Yeah. I may have gone to that school.
Yeah, 20 years before.
No one's writing your book. It's fine.
20 years ago before that.
Oh, much.
You'd have left that school in what, 1998? 99?
Quite possibly, Luke. Yeah.
Do you want to go back to make sure they're maintaining the statue?
Very much so. I have to clean my own statue. Yeah, much like Carlos Valderrama.
Happy Monday, lads. So I heard on the radio yesterday that Virgil van Dijk's current home in Manchester is owned by Ole, Manchester United manager, who's also the landlord of a Liverpool player. How weird is that?
I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he should, I want to know if it was fully furnished when he moved in with all Man United memorabilia.
Well, we may have that in the running order for the Arsenal-Man United game.
A lot of benches?
Well, I'm sticking it in the email section because
I've noticed.
Late.
And I think if I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I would be doing weekly inspections, as is my right as a landlord.
Setting traps, maybe. Yeah.
Turning up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a game tomorrow.
It's all right, I've got a key.
I will let myself in.
I've got the Bluetooth connection at the Sonos, so I'll just turn that on.
I wouldn't have put that sofa there.
What manager from any generation do you think would be the worst landlord?
Is this who's asking this question? Oh, sorry,
Chan. Edinburgh.
Which Andy manager? Chan,
the Tony Pulis. He just evicts you all the time.
Yeah, he would.
You reckon?
Good.
Sorry, puffing cigarette fumes every time he's coming in. It would just stink of tabs.
Just cigarette butts everywhere.
Yeah.
Tevez would be terrible. He'd let the place just go into disrepair and like have a strop every time he had a problem with it.
Oh, Redknapp. You'd never get hold of him. He doesn't know how to work a mobile phone.
No, I tell you what, Harry Redknapp, he'd turn up in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You'd be there in your dressing gown having a cup of tea. Just look after this for me, will you? Just put it under the stairs. Put it under the stairs.
This is a bloody axe. Yeah. I reckon Duncan Ferguson, security would be paramount.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, absolutely.
I think he'd be a good landlord, Big Dunk.
Yeah.
If
you're on the right side of him, you paid your rent.
Kevin Nolan was Andy Carroll's
landlord
for a bit, wasn't he? So maybe he'd be good.
There's talk of Carroll going back to Newcastle, which I'm not sure about.
But you'll take any player at the moment, won't you?
Pretty much, yeah. Anyone on a permanent.
Yeah.
Anyone we can have for what more than one season. Kennedy can leave. if you want to get to the show, as always, hello. No, it's showatthefootballramble.com. But do write hello at the start of your emails.
Nothing wrong with the greeting,
give us
it?
A traditional greeting.
Yes.
Arsenal beat Manchester United 2-0.
Ooh la la.
2-0. They ended Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's unbeaten run in the league. What a win for Arsenal. This was some great last-ditch defending from Arsenal, Jim, throughout that game. Some great saves from Leno.
Yeah, Leno has been in excellent form of late. It took him a while to sort of settle in, but he looks confident now and looks like he's giving confidence to the rest of the team. And I love seeing Arsenal defending a lead like that. And obviously, we were talking before about the way the game went in the FA Cup, which made me think that this might be a difficult afternoon. And in parts, it was. But I think Emery reacted to Man United's counter-attacking game by just doing the same. And it left them having to play a very, very different match from the game at the in the FA Cup. And also Jesse Lingard's breakdancing was infuriating at the time. And Leno said that like they used that as motivation.
Did they?
Would Leno have dealt with that swerver that De Gea?
I don't know. I feel like
it's the big conversation of our age. This
it's a freak one now.
Neville and Carragher had a massive ding dong about it.
Yeah, everyone was sort of saying like it was a terrible mistake from an excellent goalkeeper. But I'm looking at that going, that didn't make me think that it was an absolute rick. It made me think, oh, goalkeeping is really difficult. Isn't it? I wouldn't have even been in the place where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, isn't it? I think that there's a moment where De Gea, where the ball is coming to him, and you. Obviously, with slow motion replays and all the rest of it, you can see where the ball then begins to veer away and he takes a step in the other direction. And that's the moment where he's been done.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a bit of a freak.
There's
really.
A lot of swerve on it. And also the wind probably played a part in
what
it. I imagine if Bernd Leno had let that in, you'd be like, oh, come on, you've got to be doing better than that without having having the advice to give him on how to do better with it. Yeah, so I can understand why Man United fans are a little bit disappointed. But Xhaka hits a ball in such a weird way. Like he strikes it in a sort of M.C. Escher style way because it just moves
down
around
stairs.
In the weirdest way.
For me, the only criticism you can level at De Gea, I think, is just that he goes quite early.
Yeah.
The balls, I know Xhaka can ping him. But
he's not anticipated it moving at all, is he?
No, and he's quite a long way out, and he's got a clear look at it. Mm. So to
me, didn't go in the corner.
No, it went quite near the middle of the goal.
Yeah.
I think he's the criticism you level is he's put his weight on his foot early, too early, and so he can't adjust. But
he sort of freezes when it moves.
Well, I think he's noticed what player's actually hitting it, and he knows he can absolutely how it to them. So I think he just sort of goes, I need my full body behind this.
But you're right though, Pete. It really did throw into focus how. Good goalkeepers are, but it's so rare you see a ball go that close to the middle of the goal and go in.
Because the ball it made the goal look massive.
Like
that shot. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's slightly fortuitous, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
The second one was never a penalty.
It's a penalty and it's a red. It's a red card.
Yeah.
It's not. No one thinks it's a penalty, surely.
No, I praised Lacazette for staying on his feet when he could have gone down for a penalty a little while ago. And I think, well done, mate, you've earned that one. I don't mind it.
You know, Arsenal's record at home is fantastic, and we know that. And they've only lost once on the opening day, which is a bit like Freshers' Week, and anything can happen. You know, you're just really unpredictable the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And it was a tough game.
Yeah. Jaeger's all round.
Exactly. That's what certainly what it looked like. And so they rode their luck in the game against United because United had some chances and hit the bar and all the rest of it. And
another day, Manchester United could have won that game.
Yeah. Exactly. But so the luck is the luck, but the coincidence, it's not a coincidence they're so good at home at Arsenal and they deserve it. And I thought again, it was almost similar to the old Spurs game. A lot of defending looks a little bit last ditch, but they just, at the same time, they seem quite comfortable.
Exactly. And that is the culture in particular that needs to change, because you are going to be under the cosh against the best sides. That's true of Man City. You know, like that's what it takes to be a top team. You have to understand how to be under the cosh, weather that storm, and then get back on top yourself. And Arsenal seem to be better at that in recent weeks.
They're more robust.
Really good. And also, I'm very impressed with the team spirit, because the game against Rennes on Thursday was awful. It was an absolutely abysmal situation and very poor result. And the team spirit looks really, really good. And I'm happy to see them sort of bounce back like that, especially with another home game to try and put that right coming up. And the fixture list coming up is encouraging as well. As we've touched on before, Arsenal have played all of the rest of the top six home and away now. And there are still tough games in all of them.
They've got a nice looking run in though.
Yeah, but if they can get that run going again and focus, then they've got a really good chance of finishing the top four.
What did you think of Neville and Carragher's comments that Emery is overachieving as they believe Arsenal to be the poorest side in the top six? So there was a lot of praise for Emery himself from those two.
To be honest, I don't think that's unfair. Mm.
I think they are the poorest team.
Some of the players
they're very top heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Mustafi's had his ricks. There's been...
Is he still technically a football player?
Well, we'll see, won't we? Yeah.
He's a disruptor.
Yeah.
It's an abstract concept, really. Obviously, Hector Bellerin being out is weakens that team considerably, and there's the Ozil situation. A lot of different stuff for Emery to contend with, and I think that is fair. I think he's doing a good job.
I agree. And he got, and they did get Mustafi pretty cheap, so it's not the end of the world.
Indeed, yeah. And they're still in the Europa League, though. I know it was not a great result.
They can turn that around,
Easy. Yeah. Easy peasy.
Like that.
No bother at all. Let's go and talk about Leicester City. Brendy Rodgers got his first win as Leicester City manager. It was against Fulham, so a bit of a gimme, but they still got to win the game. Jamie Vardy scored his 100th goal for the club.
Yeah.
There was often rumours that Puel and Vardy didn't really get on that well. The relationship between the two wasn't particularly
sweet. Puel would never come down Vodka Revolutions. Vardy just thought that was boring.
All he wanted to do was go for dinner, have one glass of wine and go home.
You're having one.
You're not even going out.
Put some Skittles in that wine.
You are having another drink. You are having another drink.
And then just go to the bar and buy a new one.
Stop hitting yourself in the face, Jamie.
People can get to their own conclusions about whether Jamie Vardy and Claude Puel got on. I'll just leave you with this. I typed in Jamie Vardy, Claude Puel into Google, and the first result I got back had the following headline. Did Leicester striker Jamie Vardy call Claude Puel a fucking knobhead after the Man United defeat? With a video of Jamie Vardy quite clearly calling Claude Puel a fucking knobhead. Could have been hijinks, could have been high spirits after a difficult game.
Could have been talking to a bloke just stood behind him.
Yeah, but he did not, Pete, do what you referenced earlier and put his hand in front of his mouth. That's far too refined for Vardy.
No.
Well, I think on that
note, a man to mince words.
The only time he puts his hand in front of his mouth is when there's a shot of vodka in it.
I think managers are Jello. If you don't want people to know what you're saying, a bit like, you know, in the Wild West, get a handkerchief up there.
Yeah.
Or just learn ventriloquism.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Ready?
Fucking Norwood.
Who was that directed at?
You don't even know who said it, because I threw my voice.
Yeah, that's true. Jim, there's no need for that.
Wear one of those little Japanese masks the Japanese people bought in there.
Like a surgeon's mask.
Or shredder.
Yeah.
They've got options, haven't they? Is what we're saying. Either learn ventriloquism, handkerchief, like Wild West style, or
cosplay shredder.
Or do that. Do the shredder thing, as Pete said. But Rodgers has already been praising Vardy, calling him a world-class striker and a brilliant focal point for the team. He's clearly gone straight for the alpha male of the group, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, he's
and it's a wise decision.
Very populist.
Indeed. and Vardy, you know, two goals. Very
could
unselfish.
Could have had a third as well, yeah.
Indeed, obviously the first one for Tielemann. And Vardy looks like, a bit like when Solskjaer went to Manchester United, a number of those players started enjoying themselves. I mean, on the basis of that, and I know it was against Fulham and Vardy's got goals in him for crying out loud, but he does look like he's kind of like, hey, we're back on.
Yeah, and they're playing more to his strength as well.
I think that's it.
The ball that's played through by Maddison for one of his goals, that's exactly what Vardy needs.
That's what Rodgers said. Rodgers come in and immediately saying he's a brilliant focal point for the team. is almost like a dig at Puel, if you see what I mean. Or not necessarily a dig at Puel, but the previous regime.
I imagine Funtime Brendan doesn't even know who Claude Puel is.
No.
Yeah.
It's in the past. Uh-huh. And the past is the past, Jim.
Indeed.
You know, it's all about the honesty of the group. And Fulham fans can rest assured they're relegated now. I did say last week that they showed a bit against Chelsea for a bit. But, I mean, they were dreadful. And there was errors and all sorts going on. And they really weren't in the game. But, although I suppose they did equalise at one point.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, how much of the money are they going to get back from Honest Players they bought?
Who knows what the arrangements are. But one thing that surprised me about this game is that the referee was a guy who's apparently refereed 9 Premier League games, and he's called David Coote. I'd never heard of him. I've never once heard that
this
name.
This is the first time I'm hearing of David Coote myself.
Have you?
No.
David Coote was the referee. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
My goodness.
He's no Dean. No. Is that, I mean,
but how many Premier League games is he refereed?
Apparently, I just clicked on him on
9.
He's refereed 9, yeah.
Well, that's not too many, is
he? He's done 5 in the Championship this season.
Well, he's fairly new.
Yeah. Give him a chance.
Come on.
He obviously didn't do anything silly in this game, I don't think. Mind you, I hadn't actually watched the game live, so maybe he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on you, David Coote.
Yeah, well done, DC.
Hope he's bald, hence bald as a coot.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Plenty to go on there. Well, we look forward to...
John Moss has put a bit of...
I thought that.
Yeah.
John Moss should also dye his hair green in the same spirit.
Yes.
Maybe that's what he's grown under his top.
Who was it? It was complaining about John Moss being overweight in that game. There was a commentator. It might have been on the radio. He was complaining that it was Danny Mills. Seriously, forget it.
It's time for an ad break, ladies and gentlemen, after which we'll go to the Championship and the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
Sets up the dubious penalty shout.
I was enjoying that one.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. The previous show, sponsored by Bet365, will be with you on Thursday. Our best bet came in, didn't it?
As mentioned, Jamie Vardy scored not one, but two. So our man will be in the hot seat for Thursday. We look forward to seeing what he picks out this time on the way to what is now really the holy grail of this show, which is 3 best bets correct in a row. The ORE, the Order of the Ramble Empire. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned on Thursday for that grand unveiling.
Marvellous stuff. Right, Championship time. Birmingham 0, Aston Villa 1.
A good-natured affair.
I mean, shocking scenes at St Andrews as a Birmingham City supporter.
We should say the same happened at the Emirates and piss off that guy.
Yeah. And it happened exactly, north of the border as well, did it not?
Hibbs versus Rangers,
yeah.
But this one seemed even worse than because he properly... You know, stuck one on Jack Grealish
from behind as well. So it was even doubly cowardly. Sort.
Yeah. Some are saying Birmingham should be deducted points for this. You know, people going very, very much. The league should throw the book at them.
The most interesting one I've seen is that there should be armed police at football matches.
Bloody hell. Right.
That's an outlier, isn't it?
Yeah.
that's a fringe view.
Some of the solutions will be false.
Donald Trump getting involved in the chat, is he?
But, you know, I do think there's an issue here around clearly around. Jonathan Wilson wrote a piece this week saying, or after this
society
game,
society is rotten to the core, basically.
He said football and society is rotting from the head. It's a piece, I'd recommend it. I think it's for Sports Illustrated. I definitely recommend that. But clearly, you're going to get idiots, right? And you can't, in a crowd of however many people were there, let me just check, there were over 26,000 people there. So people are going to be idiots. You're going to get that. Yeah. And the guy should be, what he did was disgusting, and he should be punished to the full extent of the law, both inside and outside of football. And I'm sure he will be, because it's not difficult to do that. I mean, there's a few witnesses and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there is an issue around stewarding at football games. And we've talked about this on this show before. Mm. I don't want to get too serious for too long, but to me, there are far too many stewards who don't have proper training, who aren't properly paid. And to be honest, I don't blame them for this, for the money they're on and for what's expected of them. Mm. They're not going to be able to police it properly. It's very, very difficult. And so...
It's very easy to get on the pitch, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it seems to be happening more and more. And everybody... I kind of see it as an extension of the social media kind of... Everybody can be a legend in their own lunchtime by doing something outrageous. And it is that kind of, hey, everyone, look at me. It's like going to bloody cricket and seeing lads run around in stupid fucking costumes. It's like, look what I can do. Look what I can get on. I can get on Match of the Day. I mean, in this case, obviously... He's gone mad and he's punched a player, but I just think it's an extension of that. But it's the sort of thing we can sort of be sanctimonious about it a little bit, because it's the sort of thing we've kind of romanticised when it comes to South America. Look what happened at Sporting Lisbon's training ground a little while ago. It's all a big bloody shame, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're right about the point about it seems a little bit different if it's overseas, and that's wrong by us for sure. But, you know, he... it's cowardly because he knows the football player's not going to do anything back to him because he can't. And he's cowardly because he's hitting from behind. But he shouldn't be on the pitch in the first place. He'll get banned for life and he'll get prosecuted. And if he's got previous convictions, he'll probably go to jail. And he should be punished to the full extent of the law. But you can't expect every single person to be effectively policed. It's like London, right? We saw it on the London riots. There's however many million people in London, there isn't a policeman for every human being.
Yeah,
you've got a lot of it is fabricated, is sort of built on the idea that most people are going to behave themselves.
Well, society is a bit of a bluff, really. Well,
yeah, exactly.
As well, I think the issue here is that, you know, football, as with anything, is a reflection of what's going on in society. And we're seeing a lot of unrest at the moment. We're seeing it's a very, very difficult and unusual tense time. And we're seeing that spill over into football, and it's a shame. And, football needs to do what it can to keep a lid on that.
I think go on, Luke.
No, I was just going to say Jack Grealish responded in the best.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Without kind of making it trivial, and I don't think we have there, but we must also say the way Jack Grealish responded. Yeah. This is a player who's been criticised over the years for being a bit immature and whatnot off the field and whatnot, and I understand some of those criticisms.
Well, he is immature. He's only 23 now.
Sure, but unwise perhaps then.
Yeah.
But to have that experience of being punched in that ground, in that atmosphere, he's Villa through and through. He was the captain of the day. He could have shrunk. It would have been totally understandable if he'd have said, you know what, I want to come off. And he could have sort of disappeared and whatnot. But man of the match, gets the winner, and after the game, probably, maybe slightly tongue-in-cheek, said, it was the best day of my life.
I don't think it was tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he knew what the reporter meant. I think the reporter said to him, what a bit of a crazy day for you. I don't think he knew. I think he had put it out of his mind to such an extent.
Maybe.
He thought he was talking about scoring the goal at the Villa fans' end at Birmingham, which is massive for him. Uh-huh. But on the
captain's armband as well for the tide he supports. It's quite glorious in just talking about football terms, you know.
And you say you don't want to trivialise it. I think we should trivialise it. I think that it should be trivialised. I think the way it was covered by Sky Sports was wrong. They showed it far too many times. That thing at Arsenal wouldn't have happened if they didn't show it so many times. That guy who got on the pitch at Arsenal has 100% been in the pub before the game watching that Villa game and he's seen how many times it's been shown and thought, I'm going to be a legend
to me, mates.
The best thing that can happen is for people not even to talk about it again. Mm. Get him prosecuted, report that he's been prosecuted, make it clear that's what happens, and don't glamorise the guy because he's an idiot.
True, we never talk about that time Pete did the... Well, anyway.
No, exactly.
Nobody knows about it.
That mascot deserves it, so
and we're not allowed to talk about it.
We are going to talk about Darren Moore, though. He's been sacked by West Brom. They drew 1-1 at home with Ipswich. First team coach James Sharn will take temporary charge. At the time of recording, no one has been given the job, although Jukanovic, the ex-Fulham manager, has been linked quite strongly.
They must have someone in the wings if they were going to make that decision. They're going to pull the trigger there if it's so important to get on track immediately.
I don't know. Well, possibly. I mean, with 10 games to go, the board said they made the decision after a recent run of poor results that saw the club lose ground on automatic promotion. Now, West Brom have won 4 of the last 12 league games. The board has said that they wanted to return to the Premier League very quickly and obviously feel that that wasn't going to happen under Moore. Now, West Brom, they had a very good first half of the season. They have fallen away of late with those 4 wins in 12 league games. They're still in the playoffs, so they're now 9 points off automatic promotion. Losing Harvey Barnes was a bit of a blow for them when we went back to Leicester. I have to say, I think it's a bad decision.
I agree. I think the
way West Brom have played, you're going to have these patches in the Championship.
Yeah.
Leeds they had a little wobble, but they've gone right back at the races.
God, if you're using Leeds as an example of stability.
I'm talking about in terms of winning games.
What it is a naive decision, because you need to understand the competitiveness of the Championship, and you also need to respect what Darren Moore's achieved then, not just as a manager, but what he did before that with bringing young players through and all the rest of it, and how he essentially knitted that team back together.
They're still in the playoffs,
and they've got a worse chance now of getting promoted than they had when they had him in there.
They've hit the panic button.
Definitely, eight away games out of 9 they've won. I know it's 4-12, and they've not had They've not been great at home recently. 8 out of 9 away games they've won.
I think, off the top of my head, they're 6 or 7 points ahead of 7th place. You would fancy them to get a playoff spot. Now, maybe the board have thought, we're not going to get a playoff spot. We're slipping that badly. I think that's unlikely. I think the way West Brom are playing, I know a draw at home against Ipswich, who are right down there, is poor. I have to say, I know we've spoken about how we like Darren Moore. I'm genuinely not letting that get in the way of what I think is the right decision here. Or the wrong decision.
He's also a good player for them as well. I think it's real. I know you can't be too sentimental, but I just think, as Jim says, panic button. I mean, they've gone for a bit of a wobble. They've got a bit of a cushion there to cushion them because they've started the season so well.
Sometimes you've got to hold your hands up. Look at the way Norwich and Leeds are performing, and even Sheffield United.
I mean, they can't really defend very well. They've got a poor defensive record for that top
They've scored a lot of goals, but it's not their goal scoring and defending is not that dissimilar to, say, Norwich. They've had some disappointing results, fair enough. But would they not be better if they don't go up this season? I just think they would be better still having Darren Moore there.
And my mate, I've got a mate who's a West Brom fan, and he says this is absolutely ridiculous. But I did hear some people on the phone in on 5 Live at the weekend. I know you necessarily can't take this into account because people are ringing the phone and all the rest of it. Although I enjoy listening to it. It was a bit split. A lot of them saying at home we're bad, we can't defend. Mm. Have you seen us play recently at home? You need to come and watch us to find out what...
If you're only watching them at home, I guess, as a season ticket holder and not going away, that will be... But Pete, you'd be like, this is rubbish.
I think your point, though, is right. I mean, surely you think they have someone lined up.
They must have someone lined up. And where I'm from, the word shan means you've acted poorly or unfair. So
Shan, was that the same
Jim
in Edinburgh?
Shan is
same in Edinburgh. That's Shan. It's unfair.
No, he's in charge. Shan in charge.
All right then.
Shan decision.
Poor old Darren Moore.
Speaking of Shan, let's go to the WhatsApp group, everybody.
Let's do that then. Wherever that might be.
The WhatsApp group!
WhatsApp! For God's sake!
If people would move my buttons, I wouldn't have a problem, would I?
Who moved them?
Who moved your buttons?
I'm not going to air my dirty laundry on this podcast. Unless it's literally my dirty laundry.
Any more than you already have, yes. Consistently.
I know, yeah. Well, we know you're a man who keeps a tight ship and organised as well, so we'll find them. Yeah. We'll get them, mate, don't worry.
I'm surprised you even noticed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But if we find out it's you all along,
was it Shota Ramayoba you called the police because he said his house had been ransacked?
That's right.
Yeah.
What, so he couldn't find his checkbook, I think. Yeah. That was his problem. Yeah.
He just left it messy.
That's Pete Donaldson's software.
Right. A few people tweeted about this. Thank you very much. A Scottish League Two side, Berwick Rangers. League Two side.
Yeah.
It's fourth tier. Yeah. Respectable level.
Do it in the accent.
They tweeted from their official account on the weekend. Ugly scenes in the dugout as Cowden Beath's manager just told Johnny Harvey to take his face for a shite.
Go take your face for a shite.
Does that mean, does that mean that you're going to be sick?
No, it means your face is like a bum.
Like an anus.
You got an ass face.
I think that can be interpreted a few ways.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's quite disrespectful.
I'll go and take your face for a shite.
It's not as good without the Scottish accent.
No, I think
Scottish
it still works.
It's a very specific, wonderful
go
thing.
And take your face for a shite.
Yeah. See, that's so much better.
It's better. Yeah, yeah. And where my family are from in Edinburgh, they would say, away and bore your head. You heard that?
I thought they were Aberdeen, your family.
I said, what did I say?
Edinburgh.
It is Aberdeen, yeah. Aberdeen.
That's my ancestor.
Sorry, yeah, Aberdean.
Getting confused.
Away and boil your head.
Boil your head. Boil. I like it.
Yeah, so similar, but not as aggressive.
Decent.
Yeah.
Decent. Mm. Talking of shite.
Imagine if like Pochettino did that.
You've messed up the link.
Sorry, speaking of, go on, carry on.
FIFA are facing fresh calls to investigate the Qatar World Cup, which is going to happen in 2022, we think. The bid, due to new reports claiming Qatar offered FIFA $400 million before they were awarded the tournament. It's alleged that a secret $100 million deal...
There you go. Stick that towards your surplus.
...was offered by Qatar's state-run...
Not a profit.
...state-run broadcaster Al Jazeera.
Qatar means Qatar.
3 weeks before Qatar were awarded the 2022 World Cup.
Hmm. Yep. Richard Keys unavailable for comment?
He's not seen any wrongdoing.
No, exactly.
In his probably literal ivory tower.
Yeah. I saw this story and it oddly, it warmed me cockles. I thought to myself, we used to really hammer FIFA all the time and whatnot, but since Andrew Jennings and the FBI and all the rest of it got them...
They have done a pretty good PR cover-up of you know, getting people off their backs a bit. And actually,
because bearing in mind...
This is a dereliction of duty from
true.
Us.
True, but when you say pretty good, you're right. People might say, well, hang on, we know there are... No, considering what it was, I think the PR job's been actually okay. But the allegations were first made in a book called Whatever It Takes, The Inside Story of the FIFA Way. The Sunday Times, they have seen documents, though they have claimed that they've seen documents that allegedly state, in the event that the 2022 competition is awarded to the state of Qatar, Al Jazeera shall, in addition to the rights fee, pay to FIFA into the designated account the monetary amount of $100 million.
Isn't that how like things work?
US dollars.
We will do it here.
Hasn't that bitten them before?
I wasn't listening to any of that because I was just going for Richard Keys' Twitter feed. He's not talked about it.
No,
he's talking a bit about Alan Pardew a lot and some stuff about Volvos.
He hasn't mentioned the Mighty Atom, the Dared to Dream.
No, he hasn't.
While I was away in Taiwan, there was a local man who was called Andy Gray who was offering scuba diving lesson.
I saw that, yeah.
Did you splash it?
In Taiwan. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So there we are. Good old FIFA.
I'm trying to think of it was just banter. It was just, I can't think of anything.
Manta Ray.
Yes! Marcus!
That's good.
Manta Ray.
Very good. Wow. Was,
can you guys hear
I got
what?
Stung. It was just Manta.
As we're about to... As we're about to finish
get
the
off
show.
The beach.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
If you, it was extraordinary.
Bream?
Oh,
Bream.
Yeah. Bream is Bream. I know what you meant.
Is Qatar, is it going to happen?
Can what I just think? Ask a more important question?
Oh, go on.
We're back
are England
going to
win it?
After the show, I'll buy anyone in this room a coffee. You can name me one of the two players that Richard Keys has got in his Twitter banner picture.
Oh,
and right. You get one guess each.
Players.
Okay, are they current or former?
Both former players.
What, Graeme Souness?
Incorrect. Jim? Good guess, though. I see where you're coming from with that. Oof.
Can I have another guess?
Yeah, if you want.
Kevin Keegan?
No.
Ah!
My mind's gone blank.
Just think of the sort of people that would...
Any Craig Bellamy.
Incorrect.
Craig Bellamy.
I'm trying to think of like, it's definitely an ex-pro, around about 50. So
Richard Keys on one end, Andy Gray on the other end.
Yeah.
World Cup trophy in the middle. Obs. Come on, name me one.
Is it a World Cup winner?
No.
I think Glenn Hoddle might be one.
No, another good guess, but no.
You've got to think of all that sort of age.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
The job Jose. For the boys.
Jose, no. One is Paul Robinson.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and
wouldn't.
The other one is Nigel de Jong, weirdly enough.
Oh, I would never have got those.
I know you wouldn't. That's why I said it.
That's why he said it. Yeah. I was being too obvious.
Yeah.
I was just being too obvious.
Aye.
Marcus Spiller wins.
No, I know. I didn't win, but I...
Take it.
I'll take it.
He's like Romario. He'll put that on the whiteboard in a minute.
Yeah.
As part of his going for golds.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the football ramble, which I just won. say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Bye from me. See you on Thursday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.